With your permission, we'd like to talk shop for just a moment.
Because we've got a good racket going, you're not going to be able to touch our own.
Oh, okay, so you've got a racket going.
Cookies are not the only food. I tell that to my children all the time.
It's time for the Publisher Fight. It's time for the Publisher Fight.
Here's a man that really appreciates that new England pound.
Hi, how's it going, and welcome to Video Week Podcast. My name is Vincent Flood, I'm the Editor-in-Chief at Video Week, and this week's guest is Justin Sampson. We recorded a live podcast session with Justin Sampson's exit interview. Justin has been the CEO of Barb, the UK TV measurement jick, since 2012, and this is something that we reserve for people, I think, who have maybe delivered exceptional service to the industry, and Justin is very much in that category. It was a lot of fun, and it's always interesting to catch people as they've got one foot out the door. Tends to free up the conversation a little. Just a few bits coming up from us. The European Video Awards, the deadline for entries is 22nd of May, so plenty of time to get one in if you're listening to this when we publish the podcast. Please do make sure and get your entry in. We know that everyone's working hard out there. We know that maybe your team needs a bit of a morale boost or a bit of well-deserved recognition, or maybe it's you as an individual. So make sure you get your entries in for the European Video Awards. Then we're going to be in Cannes on the Marea rooftop for Video Week Live. You can find out about joining that, or if you'd like to partner, on the Video Week website. Then we're also busy preparing for stuff around Demexco, where we're going to be hosting a dinner and doing lots of filming on the ground. We'll be launching the CTV advertising guide, which is something that you should probably get in touch with now if you're interested in being a part of. Then we're also busy preparing for TV Rise in Seville, our leadership event, which will be taking place in October. Right, I'll cross over to my conversation with Justin, and I hope you enjoy. So we're going to do this as a live podcast. Justin was like, does that mean live stream? I was like, no, live in front of an audience. Because I'm hoping that this is going to be a place where you're just, you know, settling lots of scores. It's going to be like when Father Ted won the Golden Claret and just uses the acceptance speech to sort of go after every single person.
I hope you don't mind. I've bought some notes because I don't want to make sure I don't want to forget anyone.
Please listen. Have you done an exit interview
before? No. This is my first time, and I had been told opportunity to get things off my chest. Yeah. Settle scores. Yeah. I've been told as well they're confidential, so this is just between you and me, Vinny.
100%. Great. Yeah. Okay. NDAs have been signed everywhere.
Hopefully no questions I'll have to consult lawyers on.
Perhaps. We'll see. But we did one of these with Jeremy West was the last person as well. That's partly about catching people as they're in the hope that they will wreak terrible vengeance on all of their enemies. But anyway, let's... firstly, let's not assume everyone's familiar with Barb. So maybe start with a high level overview of what Barb is, and then, you know, how it's owned is kind of important, I think, as well.
Sure. At a practical level, we deliver audience data every day, which is fundamental to how advertisers trade with sellers, how regulators assess markets, how policymakers sort of understand the media landscape with what they're thinking about in terms of issues of sustainability and plurality. And obviously the people who make the decisions about which programmes to acquire and show rely on our data to help them with return on investment decisions. We actually don't have any shareholders. We're a private company limited by guarantee. We have six organisations that have come into a members agreement. You've got the IPA representing the buy side. You've got five TV companies. Mm-hmm. And so we're of the industry and for the industry. And we're often referred to as gold standard. So this is the first thing I'm going to get off my chest. I really don't like the phrase gold standard.
That's a revelation.
It's become a bit. I mean, okay, another thing off my chest. Yeah. Meta has the gold standard from the IAB, despite the fact that it gets, by its own admission, 3-4% of its ad revenue from scam advertising. Mm-hmm. So, and I have to say, I feel for organisations who also have that gold standard. Vivo, not far from here, they're doing all the right things to get the gold standard. But the phrase we use is we are the industry's standard, and there's a very important sort of a possessive apostrophe in there. We're of the industry for the industry. I'm also not a fan of JIC as an acronym. It's kind of a shorthand for institutions that are organised in a given way. And what I think has tended to happen is you get into this sort of conversation about it's the JICs versus the walled garden platforms. But actually the really important conversation, I think, is it's do you want jointly governed, independent audience data, or do you want to rely on proprietary data? And independence isn't a slogan for us. It's kind of an operational constraint. We have to operate independently. We can't have methodologies that favour one player or another in the market.
So one of the reasons when we have Meta for coffees or anything like that, I always really look forward to it because and I wouldn't have guessed that before I met you and had private conversations with you, but you know, I would have guessed that, you know, working at Barb was a bit like the media equivalent of the civil service or something, where it's just like, nice, we signed a contract for a few years, let's get those numbers out, guys, you know, and it sort of takes care of itself. But it's a hugely political role. I think that surprised me, particularly in recent years. I think, I mean, when you first took on the role, did you realise what you were getting yourself into, or did you think, this looks?
Yeah. I mean, it's not my first sort of joint industry role. Many years ago, I spent a long time working in radio, and I spent 12 years at it wasn't equivalent of Bar, but it was a trade marketing body, so it's like the radio equivalent of what we now know as Thinkbox and the RAB, and that was a valuable lesson in herding cats. And actually, while I was there, my boss very generously sent me over to Wharton at the University of Pennsylvania for a course for a couple of weeks, and on the course they had some syndicate work, and I ended up in this syndicate group with all the strongest minded people. And you could see the other syndicates looking and laughing at us, thinking they're never going to agree anything. And the first thing we had to do was choose a chief exec. And all these strong-minded individuals were jostling for position. And one person then pointed out, no, we need the person who's going to be able to make us agree things. And this guy pushed me forward, and so I got made chief exec. And it was illuminating, and we actually did so well, we ended up buying one of the other syndicate groups, which had never happened at Wharton. So I'd kind of worked out one of the things that gives me energy is getting normally competitive people to agree things. And I mean, some people, when politics as a word comes up, some people use it as a reason why things can't happen. But politics is a process to be managed. And if you don't like that, then don't apply for this job. And actually, interestingly also, when we did recently run the process to find my replacement, some of the feedback the recruitment company got was, this isn't a job for somebody who wants to be universally popular. Which is kind of true. And if we're in a situation where all the stakeholders are just not quite happy, then I think we're doing our job just about right.
Excellent. I can see that. Yeah, compromise. It reminds me very much of I can't keep talking about the Northern Ireland peace process. I did that last year, but like, that's his thing. But a good compromise. Normally, everyone comes away feeling mildly pissed off, but it's workable.
Yeah.
If you had a time machine, you could go back to when you were first starting out, what would be the thing that you'd say, Justin, you need to watch this?
So I've seen Barb from both sides now, because in the mid-noughties I was a contractor to Barb, and so I knew what it was like to be on the end of the previous chief exec's style, and he was a very hard, sort of didactic, there was a huge amount of attrition in the relationship, And perhaps I overcompensated when I came on board and was a bit too much carrot and less stick with the contractors. I think a story I'd tell is that very early on after I joined Barb, we had a presentation from this guy who developed a meter that you can put on the Wi-Fi routers in panel homes. This was back in 2012, and I thought, this is great. We need this in our panel. We ended up finally commissioning one from, as it was then, Kantar in 2019. Could we have done it 2 or 3 years quicker if I'd been a bit more stick and a bit less carrot? Maybe. So there's that. The other thing I maybe would do differently is pay attention more quickly to the analytics systems that people use for getting hold of our data. We know there's lots of very attractive, easy to use dashboards out there now, often with proprietary data rather than trusted joint industry data, and people are more likely to go to systems that are easy to use and give them a quick answer rather than, oh, I'll spend a couple of hours wrestling with this system because it's going to give me the joint industry trusted data. So I might have done that, might have paid attention to that a bit more quickly.
There's a quote I'm going to read out from an article. It was on Media Week, no relation to Video Week, in 2015. So it's, 11 years ago. And it says, some prophecy that all advertising will be traded programmatically and that addressable advertising will take over. Yet this overlooks truths about human needs. Consumers will still want to indulge in shared media experiences, and advertisers will want their brands to be famous beyond a core target market. Advertisers will also still want to know who is seeing their ads. Can machine data ever deliver this in a comprehensive and representative way? It's highly unlikely. The future will require an understanding that comes from hybrid research systems that draw on device-based data and established forms of audience research. I think there's a remarkably prescient quote. I think probably in 2015, I think I might have been one of the people who didn't probably understand measurement all that well, but probably said that's bullshit. But you know, do you think alongside that, yeah, I think that there was we've seen a massive decline in the amount of media being measured by joint industry committees. I think there was
The amount of media being traded through joint industry data. Yeah, I mean, I think prescience maybe it's just an instinctive belief that the more things change, the more they tend to be the same.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's the joint industry research has got worse. I could spend quite a lot of time talking about all the innovations of Bard. There's been loads at other parts of the UK. I think the fact that less advertising revenue is traded against joint industry data is a function of advertisers being sold on the promise of performance versus brand. And those platforms that are focusing on that are relying very much more on proprietary data. Outcomes is now a very hot topic. Is outcomes the new performance? Maybe. I mean, we've got a really interesting situation now, because actually a lot of the outcomes thinking, I think, and apologies if I get this slightly wrong, is related to the idea that somebody sees something through a digital media and then does something through a digital channel as a result of seeing that. Now, that ignores the fact that there's an enormous amount of outcomes that take place in real life with no digital trail, no breadcrumbs to do that digital kind of analysis of outcomes. So you can't do all that outcome planning just by focusing on sort of digital solutions. When I joined ITV back in the mid noughties, I discovered this sort of shelf of data, of sort of Barb data linked to shopper data, showing when's the best time to advertise to get the best sales and things like that. So and there's also a lot of science now, probably more than ever. Ehrenberg, Bass, Burnett and Field, I could go through it all. Don't have time to do it, which shows that understanding outcomes is more complex than just simply somebody did this on a digital platform and they did this through a digital, they did this thing digitally. So I think there's a resurgence in MMM modelling. And I thought it was really interesting. Last year, the IPA did some research amongst their data analyst, data science community, sort of saying to them, looking ahead to 2030, how are we going to get the data we need as IPA data analysts to demonstrate outcomes and effectiveness? And their view was the most probable outcome is that this space will be dominated by proprietary data. But the most desirable outcome is the joint industry bodies step up and the joint industry trusted data sort of fills that gap. And that is something we are working on with Barb, and we're launching a MMM data pack in Q3, I'm promised.
We've seen a huge number of measurement companies entering the market in recent years. You know, in the US, I think it's been particularly aggressive in the sort of anti-Nielsen moves, and probably some valid criticism in there, combined with lots of vested interests as well. But in the UK, you know, we've seen this to some degree. I mean, do you view them as competitive to Barb's offering, or is it normally it's more complementary, or I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, the US and US companies typically don't tend to gravitate towards a joint industry model. Mm. And I won't sort of spend a long time dwelling on the whys and wherefores of that. I did a field trip to the US 18 months ago, and we went around and saw a lot of people. The competition is bringing more innovation, but it's bringing more costs. Mm. Nielsen generates $2 billion a year for its basic TAM service. Mm. And just to put that into context, Barb costs £40 million. Mm. $2 billion versus £40 million. But what it's also bringing is a lot more friction, because there's competing versions of the truth. Mm. As Barb, I don't really look at it and say, there are services that are competing with us. The competition to Barb is the industry happy with multiple versions of the truth, or does the industry believe that a single source of the truth is the right way to get the right market infrastructure that allows the market to function fairly and properly? Mm-hmm. And that's what we're focused on, and I think that's the way we should be going.
I mean, I've heard it said before that, you know, Barb's in the pocket of the broadcasters, and represents the broadcast. I know that the IPA involved, in the board as well. But, you know, I do know people from agency backgrounds who've been on the board, and that they've felt very comfortable with everything that's happening. But, you know, is it heavily influenced by the broadcasters? I mean, particularly people, you know, who maybe smaller broadcasters or streaming apps sort of have suffered with zero-rated spots and have felt like it's a system designed to exclude everyone but those bigger players.
Well, I think a couple of observations. On the zero-rating spots, we recognise that's a challenge. We're working to correct that. We're ingesting lots and lots of device-based data from set-top boxes and TV sets to try and smooth out the ratings to avoid that issue. Let me talk about Italy briefly. Mm-hmm. I love the Italians. Their equivalent of Ofcom recently codified that the streaming platforms cannot be part of the TV JIC because of broadcaster pressure. Mm. In the UK, we've had the streamers on board for years. Mm. Netflix signed up in 2022. Mm. We've got Disney Plus on. Would the broadcasters in the UK have sort of been telling us not to measure those services? Mm. And I think when I'm asked by people around the world, how come Barb is so much more innovative than other countries? I think the thing that I'd never underestimate is the significant role of the BBC, which has been part of Barb's genetic makeup since we were born. Yes, it has some reliance on ad revenue now because of BBC Studios, which own a few channels. But it's always brought along to the Barb border a point of view, which means that, yes, the ad part of what we do is very important, but also the purpose of supporting the programming community and the purpose of supporting the regulatory and legislative community is also very top of mind whenever we meet.
And I'm mindful that we're running short on time. And the two of the big reasons we've ended up speaking over the years, one has been Origin, which originated with the WFA, who created a framework for measuring reach and frequency on behalf of advertisers, rather, and was invested in by multiple many big tech platforms initially, as well as the advertisers themselves. And there's been some friction, I think, to say the least, with Barb over the years about them wanting your data to be incorporated into Origin. Is that a fair, accurate summary?
I think for a few years they were planning to go ahead without needing our data. Mm. But I think that they've now got a very clear message, I think, from the media agencies and advertisers that Barb needs to be at the heart of the solution. I think we're honest with each other now. We were with them yesterday. Yep. Talking about how we solve this. Where we're in agreement is the idea that part of solving the WFA framework is a video reporting protocol, MRC standards up, involving linear, BVOD, SVOD and YouTube. And we've got a very clear mandate from our board to help the advertisers get that as a solution. Where we will, I think, always have a more difficulty aligning with what Origin is trying to do is when they're trying to solve another part of the problem, which is how do you then measure social media and other online platforms which don't aren't committed to the MRC standards. And part of our thinking there is that we've always existed to measure the editorial content that people want to watch and the associated commercial activity. And Meta, which is the big funder of Origin, which is in that sort of social media online platform space, their model is clearly very different, user-generated, algorithmically driven. You don't need me to explain that to you. So where we are with Origin is, yes, we're very committed to collaborating on the video reporting bit, but and we absolutely respect advertisers' desire to then sort of look at that alongside social media, but that is, that's not part of our sort of mandate to solve for that part.
And then YouTube has been another area, but where it's been, well, ups and downs. One minute it's like, oh, they're in love. Oh, it's off again. They've said the cease and desist. Where are you at now in your YouTube love journey?
I'd say, I've been dealing with Google for 10, 11, 12 years, and ups and downs is the way I'd put it. But we met with them a couple of weeks back, sleeves rolled up. How are we going to collaborate? How are we going to work together? It feels like there's a real appetite to do it, notwithstanding the things that you've mentioned that have recently been in the press.
Written by you in the press sometimes. That's just, what's just the press. Yeah.
We need to sort of be confident about being able to collaborate. We've, as I said a few minutes ago, got a very strong mandate from our board, which whilst ISBAR isn't an underwriter of BARB, it does sit on our strategy board, including not just a member of the ISBAR exec, but an advertiser as well. And they were part of that sort of very full-throated support for us to work with Google on solving for this video reporting piece. So we're very committed to working with them, and we hope we can make good progress. But I'm not sure we'll do it by the time I leave, but who knows?
We'll see.
I'm doing what I can to keep things moving before I go.
So will you have to compromise on the fit for TV definition?
That's a whole other interview.
Is it? Sorry. I don't scupper the peace process. I'll leave you alone.
I mean, I think that where we do need to sort of get aligned on is two sort of fundamental questions. What are the metrics we are working to? And I think we're kind of there. It's the idea of 100% completion through quartiles down to the MRC minimum. And then we've got to get agreement around what content is reported and how we surface that in a way that is equivalent and comparable to the way we report the editorial content that people watch on other on other platforms. We report linear services and the like.
So, over your time at BARB, what's your greatest regret?
I'm not a big one for regrets, actually. I was going to say to this was, what would I like to solve before I go? And Google was part of my answer on that one. But then I did start thinking, actually, that I have had a couple of regrets since deciding to step back, that I'm stepping back, because it genuinely is a really exciting time to be doing this job. And I've had a few days where I've thought, can I take it back? If I was 10 years younger, I would have gone for that job, because it's a cracking job if you... I'm thrilled for Caroline Baxter, who's taking over for me. She's been our COO for a couple of years. She joined us a few years back. I think it's a great sign of confidence in the team that it's got momentum and we're sort of moving forward. Occasional pangs of regret that I'm not going to still be doing it.
I was hoping you'd say an office affair or something like that. But what are you most proud of? I mean, I think you're leaving behind a strong legacy, I think, but what's the thing that you're most...
Again, my mum told me pride comes before a fall, so I'm not great on pride. I mean, I think the team is fab. And we do, once a year, we do a satisfaction survey amongst media agencies and TV companies. And the last 3-4 years, the results have just been going up and up and up and up, which is very gratifying. And when I interviewed for the job, the recruitment company said to me, "What? You're currently chairman of a company of 150 people. Why do you want to be chief exec of a company of 9? Mm. And I said, "That's the wrong question. Because we're at the heart of this ecosystem. Mm. You got on one side the data users, on the other side the data, the companies that help you supply the data. We don't always see all those people. We come into the office, it's now 15 people. We don't always see them. So when you get the annual sort of stakeholder results, it's kind of a sense that what we're doing is being felt, it's being appreciated, and the confidence in our ability to handle the future is at record levels. So I'm sort of gratified that I'm handing over the baton smoothly, I hope. It's a couple of months to make sure that happens. And I think Barb's in good nick, yeah.
You know, you mentioned about that your sort of tinges of regret about the fact that you are sort of moving on in September. But you know, is it truly goodbye to the industry? Do you think, or are you going to resurface somewhere else? I'm taking bets on head of measurement at YouTube. Or
I thought that was done by an agentic AI bot.
It might well be.
I wouldn't like to be up against them in a process.
Yeah.
I don't think it's goodbye completely. I mean, I'm sort of thinking about 2 or 3 small things rather than one big thing. I've got a very strong belief that joint industry measurement is a force for public good, going beyond what it does for the advertising industry in terms of supporting fair and open competition, but all the issues around having a plural competitive media marketplace, the role that our data plays in. I mean, there's a lot of thought going on at the moment around the BBC Charter, potentially around what happens with Comcast and Sky, and if the regulators and legislators don't have a trusted, reliable set of data to help guide them, then that makes life more challenging. We've got, I keep getting slightly taunted by my French counterpart that, because in the EU now, they have a law as of last year, the European Media Freedom Act, which codifies joint industry measurement as necessary to the provision of the support of media markets which allow plurality. And he says, "Don't you wish you want to, we're still in the EU?" And I said, "You know, I never voted to leave anyway, Yannick." But anyway, so I think there's some really interesting conversations to be had in that space potentially. So you can take the boy out of bar, but you can't take the idea that the joint industry media measurement is a force for public good out of me.
And it is. I think for anyone, the quality of that data and the quality of, I probably might not have taken the quality of the panel at face value until I was interviewed when I was living in London and had somebody knock on my door from Ipsos and was saying, "You know, would you like to be part of the bar panel?" I'm like, "Fuck yeah, absolutely. This is great. Yeah, sure." And he was starting to take me through the process. He was a very impressive guy interviewing me on my doorstep. He wasn't just some student with a clipboard. And he was sort of vetting me, and he sort of teased out that I was working for Video Week and was too close and be compromised. And, "I'm so sorry, there's no way we can make this work." And I was just really impressive that he genuinely cared and everything was being done the right way. So
doing it the right way is really, really important. I mean, I know we're a bit over time, but some of you might have seen some of the coverage in recent weeks about what's going on in the US with the Nielsen, the gauge. As far as I understand it, what's happened is that Nielsen, sort of having started the gauge, is a sort of an interesting sort of, here's a snapshot of how streaming's sort of stacking up against more established networks. The sample on which it was based was kind of a bit sort of tilted towards homes that are more likely to stream. And so they've now said, "Well, we need to make sure that the sample's representative of the whole population." And that has actually sort of, as far as I can follow the story, meant that some of the viewing figures for the networks has gone up and some of the viewing for the streamers has gone down. Now, we wouldn't have sort of started from, "Well, let's publish data from a subset of the population," because we need to be representing what people in homes that aren't likely to stream are watching as much as those that are likely to stream, because whether it's for advertising or for regulators or for program makers, you want to know what everybody thinks, not just people who have got lots of iPads and are more likely to stream. Mm-hmm. So doing things right is really, really important.
So, well, thank you so much for taking the
thank
time.
You for,
and
I
think, yeah, there's many people in the room who I'm sure are grateful for your years of service at Barb. So give Justin a very warm round of applause, please. Cheers.
Thank you. That's great.